The enemy is at work, presenting us with Ferraris without engines. And God is saying the aesthetics don't matter. What matter is that the car can go.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, for all of you who are visiting, we have been talking about turning the world upside down. Say that with me. And this morning, I will be speaking on that same subject. Our foundational text is from the book of Acts chapter 17. The apostles have left Philippi because God had used them to do some awesome, powerful things. And then they got to Thessalonica, and the people were afraid of all the supernatural acts that God was using them to do. And so they had spoken to the city official called Jason and others. They have come to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. And some of the people didn't like it. It's amazing. In our day, it's the same way. Whenever you talk about Jesus, people don't like it. If we talk about soccer, people will be excited. Whatever else, people are happy. Except Jesus. But the scripture says when they looked for them and they did not find them, they dragged the city official called Jason and other believers, and they said these words. It says, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also." We understood that those who turn the world upside down are the people who do something on purpose to change, to affect, and to influence our world for the better. God did not put you on earth just to get married, go to work, make money, eat, build a house, and sleep, and die. If that is who you are, then you have failed. You must affect the world. I said you must what? If we wear Jordan shoes, somebody must wear yours. You cannot walk through life without leaving something behind. Something must happen to this world, and it could be traced to you. This is what the apostles did. Last week in our lesson, we understood that whatever caused them to be able to turn their world upside down was because they lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about the characteristics of those who turned the world upside down. Today, I want to talk to you about the choices of those who turn the world upside down. If we are going to turn the world upside down, there are things we must learn to choose. We cannot choose the same thing that everybody else chooses. The first lesson we want to learn this morning is that those who turn the world upside down choose to believe that God can reverse the tide and shift the momentum in their favor. God can reverse what? And shift the momentum in their favor. We read about a guy called Mordecai. Mordecai was a government official. Before he became a government official, he was just an ordinary person. Haman, as we read the scriptures, was a guy who did not like the Jews. And so he had some way, somehow convinced King Ahasuerus so that he would write a decree to simply wipe the entire Jewish race. The scripture teaches us very clearly that Mordecai stands up because he understood that he's a difference maker. Everybody say difference maker. Those who turn the world upside down are difference makers. We make a difference wherever we are. We make a difference in the political arena. We make a difference in the business sector. We make a difference even in ministry. And that is why in this church, we don't follow prophets. We follow God. We make a difference because we read the word of God, because this is the final rule of authority. All the craziness that happen in churches, we don't do because we want to make a... Come on, talk to me. We want to make a... It's amazing what Christians follow these days. I've often heard people that when, like our brother passed, and then in a year's time, they'll go to the cemetery to pray for him. What are you praying for? If the person is already in God's presence, what are you praying for? And if the person was not in God's presence, the Bible says human beings are likened to a tree. Your prayer will not move it. I'm sorry, this preacher is crazy a little bit, because I will challenge you with the truth of God's word. Those who turn the world upside down, they choose to believe that God can reverse the way things are going and change it. And Mordecai stood. And the scripture says he recruited his niece, Esther, and says, Esther, we need to stand up and fight because there is an edict against the Jewish people. And the Bible says on the 13th day of Adar, the same day that Haman thought that his plan was going to come into full effect, God turned it around. May God turn something around in your life. But the truth is, why are you waiting for somebody else to become the one God will use? But God is willing to use what? Everybody, including you. Wherever you find yourself, you must learn to choose to believe that God can do it. Martin Luther King was another guy. He saw the trend of black people in America, and he says, no, I am not going to keep quiet. I will fight until I see something change. Now, we are not there yet, but has some things changed? There ought to come another person like that from the continent of Africa. And for Europe. And for Asia. And for all the continents of the world. People who rise up and say, we are tired with the status quo. Something must change. You can do the same for your family. Understand something. You can rise up and say, I will believe God and shift the momentum in my favor. Most often when one person out of the family is gone, things begin to change. But I pray that God will use you, that you become an instrument. And then when people look around, it will be as if nothing has actually been lost, because God can use you also. Have you seen that in a family? Sometimes when people get to 30 years, they die. Or sometimes it's 40 years. And sometimes it's 50. And then you realize you are getting close and you're afraid and you are seeking for people. Today, I pray that you will rise up and tell yourself, this ain't going to happen. In the family where I was raised, my grandmother died from colorectal cancer. My uncle died from colorectal cancer. My mother died from colorectal cancer. And it always began with a person bleeding from behind. And then, 2018, I was bleeding from behind. So what is the natural conclusion? That I'm going. I decided to put up a fight. And the fact that I'm talking to you this morning means it never happened. And I've made a declaration that nobody in my family will ever go through that route. Somebody ought to stand up and tell themselves, I am willing to change. Not just the immediate world around you, the entire world. May God make you that person. I said, may God make you that person. Nelson Mandela is another example. He stood up for black South Africa and says that apartheid must be killed. You know, if all of us understood that we are not in the world just to eat and die, just to go to work and make some money, but God has put you here to make a difference. If everybody did his part, this world would be a good place. And today, when you walk out of this place, tell yourself, I am a difference maker. Everybody raise your right hand and say this after me. I am a difference maker in every arena of life that I find myself. Amen. Amen. The second lesson that I want us to learn is that those who turned the world upside down, they choose to be counted among those who will stand to preserve the testimony of God. They are willing to make sacrifices so that the testimony of God on the earth can stand. We live in a day and a time where many things are happening and the testimony of God is being downtrodden. But there's one thing I am certain and sure of. God never fails. At the end, he will win. But he is always going to use a human being. Is anybody here today who will say, I will stand to make sure that the testimony of God is preserved on the earth? Those who turned the world upside down, when the apostles were called that, they stood to make sure that the testimony of God was preserved on the earth. Amen. We read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You all remember those three dudes? What did they tell? Now, let's go to the book of Daniel because I want us to read the story. Most of the time we read stories, but I will help you put the story into a modern context. Are you ready to go? All right, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. I'll read from the New King James. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Everybody say image of gold. Do you realize that we are living in a system of image? It's about photos. It is about videos. It is about everything that shows humanity. We have become what I call addicted to self and allergic to God. We are an image sensory society. So we make decisions based on how it looks, the aesthetics, instead of looking at the principle. Nebuchadnezzar said, I have set up an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and then all the stuff. And it says, it's in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather all the satraps and administrators and the governors. Please pay attention. The satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image. There is a system. I call it the Babylonian modern day system. A system that precedents. A system that magistrates, you read it, a system that police officers, a system that those who are leading in many places, they have all subscribed to. But would you be the one to stand up and say, as long as this system does not glorify Jehovah God, I dare to defy it. Only two people were clapping their hands because the rest of you are afraid to defy the system. I pray that you will keep coming to this place because I will make you to become an individual who says the system must not be allowed to continue. Now, you need to be very caught. Pay attention to how our kids are being drawn along. The way things are going. The next 10 years. Where do you think your kids will be? Come on, let's be honest. What do you think they will be? What have they been introduced into? Anything that looks nice on the outside is acceptable. You and I know that's not true. If I put three cars here right now, I put a Ferrari here that looks good but with no engine, and I put some old Datsun. You all know Datsun? You're old enough to remember Datsun? The one we used to make taxis out of? Put a Datsun here that is all painted with an engine in it that is new. And we'll put, I don't want to get into trouble with Germans, so let's not do Volkswagen. I think I'll get into trouble with Japan, so let's do Toyota. And I ask you all to choose. You tell me which one would you choose. Because the Toyota looks dirty, right? But it works. Let's be honest. Which one would you choose? Everybody says Ferrari because we have become an image-driven society. By the time you choose it, sit in it, put a key in it, try to crank it, and then you realize it's not starting. Until you're wondering, can this be a Ferrari? Then you get up, open the hood, look in there, no engine. The enemy is at work, presenting us with Ferraris without engines. And God is saying the aesthetics don't matter. What matter is that the car can go. May God, may the King of Glory, begin to raise people in this land and in this place, that even though on the outside you may not look nice, but the inside, there is a stirring up on this inside of you that stands up to say, this is how it ought to be. Nebuchadnezzar sets up the system. The Bible says all the officials in the system had bowed to it. Look at verse 3. So the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the counselors and the treasurers and the judges and magistrates and all the officials, the senators. I told you I'm bringing the verse into modern terms for you. The senators, the members of the House, members of the judiciary, White House, they are part of it. They set up the image. Everybody, pastors, canons, archbishops, everybody is bowing to the system. And there is a system in place today that many are bowing to it. And God is counting on you to be a Shadrach. God is counting on you to be a Meshach. God is counting on you to be an Abednego who will stand up and say, we don't bow to just anything. We only bow to Jehovah God. Then Herod cried out, "Woo! To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at the time you hear the sound." Everybody say, hear the sound. Wow. Say that again. Hear the sound. What sound are you bowing to? Because any time there is sound or a music, and you dance to it, you are bowing to the kingdom that controls the music. What is wrong with this song? Nothing. Except that there is a kingdom that has put the song in place. How many of you know that today? Read articles and read magazines, and you would understand that when movie directors sit and they are putting movies together, before they sit, some of them will incant stuff so that the movie will make impact. No wonder they raise millions. When Christians come to church and they have to give $1, they cry. I won't give it so that the pastor will eat. Don't worry about me. I'll make my money and eat. But if they are financing lies with millions and we are financing truth with $2, you tell me who will go further. Yet we claim we are the people of God. You cannot be the people of God that way. If they finance evil with millions, the church must finance its work with millions. But not millions going to the pocket of the pastor. That's not what I'm talking about. In other words, we take God's word and we say, no, we are on this channel and on that channel and on that channel. When they mute us, we move to the other one. Let's continue. At that time when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down. All kinds of music. You fall down and worship in the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Fast forward. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sends a message saying, go tell Nebu. When you go, just tell them that this three dudes says they ain't bowing. And the king calls them and said, boys, you know I like you. Right? So they're going to play the music again. We're just going to give you another chance. How about you bow? And then they said, Nebu, don't worry about that, because we ain't going to bow today. Not tomorrow. It takes those who look at the bigger picture to be able to see it. Because if it's just music, we have to bow to. What is the issue? But those who see beyond and know what the enemy is doing, they will know that it is more than music. There is a bowing to an image that is not the image of God. There is a bowing to a kingdom that is not the kingdom of God. There is a bowing to things that are not from God. Amen. Those who turn the world upside down are people who are saying the testimony of God in the end is always going to stand. There's another dude we can talk about. He's called Daniel. If you look at Daniel chapter 1, I will start reading from verse 1 to verse 8 so we can put it into context. In the 30th year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. In other words, he captured it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasury house of the house of his God. Then king instructed Asphanas, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace, whom they might teach. Please to pay attention. Who they might teach what? The language. And the course. Literature is the arts. It's symbolic of culture. So he says, we're going to choose these guys from the Jewish land who we have taken as captives. We will change their language. Then we will change their culture. Come on, go with me, because I want you to understand something. God in his wisdom says, if you will be part of his kingdom and his kingdom will come on earth, how do you grow a country? Anybody? How do you grow a country? You grow a country by increasing their population. The more people who speak the language, understand the literature of that language, and eat the food from that place when they gather in an area. So you will notice that land does not define a country, even though it ought to. This is why we have Chinatown. But we are not in China. Because the people who have congregated in that part of the land, even though they are in the United States, they speak their language, they continue in their literature and culture, and they eat their food with chopsticks. And when they are in larger numbers in that vicinity, we call the place Chinatown. Have you heard about Ghanatown before? Because we are dispersed. We don't come into an area. What I want to show you is that pay attention that whenever you want to raise a group of people from a particular place, language is important, literature is important, and then what they eat is important. Nebuchadnezzar said, when you get these guys, Daniel was one of them, change their language, change their culture, their literature. And then they came to the final part, their food. Let's look at what Daniel did. Because he says, you taking our language, we didn't say nothing. You literally struck down our culture, we didn't say nothing. Now you want to take our food. Why? Because he's pretty much changing who they are. Read with me. Let's see. Everybody go all the way down to verse 8. If you can read with me from the screen, please, shall we? Go. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he will not defile himself. Did you just understand what we just read? Daniel says, you've taken two of the elements that makes us who we are. You're about to take the third one. Your intent is to change our identity. Some of you eat mac and cheese. Where I come from, we eat fufu. Then all of a sudden, you are taking all those things that define who we are. And Daniel said, no, 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 no. We gave you the language. We gave you the literature. But you will not take the third element of what defines who we are. Daniel was drawing a line in the sand. And the time has come that those who turn the world upside down will draw a line in the sand that you cannot change our identity. God made you. And he says, I have put my image on you. Don't let the world change that. Don't let the world change that. Thirdly, before we go to that, let me talk about David. Put up on the screen for me, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. We're still dealing with the fact that the testimony of God on the earth must be what? Preserved. And those who are able to preserve it, like Daniel, like Shadrach, like Meshach and Abednego, they drew a line in the sand and said, you will not change our identity because we are who we are because Jehovah made us who we are. Are you understanding me? David had come to the battlefront. When he got there, he realized that Goliath was up there and the guy was talking nonsense. The entire army, they were afraid. And if you read history, you will understand that David was about 16, 17 years old. He shows up there and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is defying the armies of the living God? And everybody is quiet. Who is this a movie? We're making an application now. Who is this song? Who are these things that have been brought? And everybody is bowing to it. I pray that you will become like David. Rise up on the inside. And when David asked the question, the Bible says his big brothers came to him and said, shut your mouth, shut your mouth. You talk too much. You talk too much. And David gives them an answer here. Verse 29. David said something very, very important. The Bible says, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Because Jehovah's name is being blasphemed. Those who turn the world upside down, they stand for a cause. There is a reason for which you are born on earth. You are not born to eat and die. There is a reason. There is an assignment. There is something important that God made you for. I pray that you will see it. I said, I pray that you will see it. And David said, the only reason I'm asking these questions is because there's a reason. The name of Jehovah is being defamed. Who will stand up for the testimony of God? You all know the rest of the stories. The things are said to Saul. Saul hears it, bring the boy around, and he asks him, you're only a little boy. How are you going to face somebody who is a champion? And David said, the same God that delivered me from the mouth of the lions and the paw, the same God, the same God, the same God, that same God, he's going to cause me to rise. And today, I want to encourage somebody in the house, say with me, the same God. Say that with me, the same God. If God delivered you one time, that's enough. Whatever it is that stands in front of you, even if it's a champion, because some problems are champions. Mama tried it. Grandpa tried it. Great-grandpa tried it. Everybody has tried it. I just told you my story. It killed many, but when it got to me, I said, it stops right here. You are able to make that happen. And I pray that as we talk about those who turn the world upside down, there's going to be some standing up, not physically, but on the inside of you that says, you stop right here, right now. Are you understanding me? David said there is a cause. And the cause is because that dude is defaming the name of Jehovah. Many people claim they're Christians. They walk into churches and they watch politicians and newscast people defame the name of God and they don't say anything. When you hear that they are voting on an issue, you don't even go to find out. Title IX was just passed in the state of Maryland. What is it doing? Do you even know? Some of you are like, huh? Because you are just watching things happen. Here, we make things happen. Thirdly, those who turn the world upside down choose to believe that beyond human reasoning and the way things used to work, they choose not to put limits on God. Raise your right hand and say this after me. No limits. Come on, say that again. Let's say it for the last time. Never put limits on God. Never. I have seen enough. Never, not. Don't put limits on God.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.